Welcome to Myths, Monsters, and Legends, where we talk about the myths, the gods, the heroes, and the monsters, of course. Whose side would you take? How do these myths stand up the test of time through the modern world? Tonight, we're going to talk about Sleipnir. God, horse, or spider horse. Welcome to Myths, Monsters, and Legends. I'm the Myth Maiden. Joining me today is Never from Never Knows Best 1408 on Twitch. Shameless plug.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
Today we're going to talk about Sleipnir, the spider horse. Where did he come from? Who are his parents? How did a male god give birth to a horse? So, Nev, do you know anything about Sleipnir?
I know he's got 8 legs, and I know that the god Loki apparently shot him out of his butthole at some point. But outside of that, no, not really. This is basically your myth. You're taking the wheel for this one.
I can understand that. Not a lot of people know how Sleipnir came to be. So I'm going to let you guys know the myth behind the horse. So to explain Sleipnir, you have to talk about the myth. And for me, his myth is one of the weirdest ones out there. I don't know, giving birth to a horse, being a guy and giving birth to a horse, that could be some issues.
I mean, being a human appearing creature and giving birth to anything the size of a horse, even a baby horse, seems like a no to me.
Yeah, me too. But apparently it was the first thing Loki talked or thought about. Yeah, I think Loki thought about that first. So, Sleipnir's story starts with a craftsman, a builder, coming to Asgard because the Asgardians needed a wall built. They needed to turn their city into a citadel.
Why did the Norse gods always need a wall? Like, just, there are so many myths that I've heard. I mean, even Wagner's Ring Cycle goes into how the whole involvement of the Norse gods involved them needing a wall again and again, trying to trade someone's wife for it.
I mean, I don't know about Norse builders, but it seemed like the gods really sucked at building walls.
It seems like they really sucked at building everything. They kept on going to the dwarves to build their weapons, to build the ropes for Fenrir, to build walls. I mean, I get it that dwarves are supposed to be expert master craftsmen and all, but I mean, you're gods, though. Just, like, got a wall into existence and make sure that people can't climb it.
You would think that would be the first thing they would do, but no. They had some random guys show up to their castle, and in front of the other gods, he was like, "Hey, I can build a wall in 3 seasons around your house."
3 seasons. So are we talking like 3 TV length seasons, like a whole year, or are we talking like spring, summer, and fall? Because,
like, spring, summer, and fall.
I feel like he was just kind of talking shit at that point.
I feel like he was too, but not everything was on the up and up. So of course, he comes and he tells Odin, "I can build this wall in 3 seasons." And Odin was ready to jump on it until the guy said exactly what he wanted.
What did he want?
Well, he wanted Odin's wife, Freya. Way to go there. He also wanted the sun and the moon.
What was he going to do with the sun and the moon? I mean, we kind of need those things to stay where they are, and it's not like you can keep them in your closet, bro.
Apparently, he thought he could. So, of course, the other guys told Odin to hold his horses, figuratively speaking.
I want to take this moment to point out, Odin is a giant asshole, but you'll hear me say that about a lot of gods throughout all this, so get used to it now.
So, of course, Odin decides that, you know, he's going to listen to the other gods, and they're telling him, don't give him 3 seasons, because anybody could build a wall in 3 seasons.
Lies.
And so Odin decides, with the other gods' agreement, that he'll give the guy one season to build this wall around the whole of Asgard. And if he can do it in one season, he gets Freya and the Sun and Moon. So the guy leaves and he comes back and he's like, well, I can do it if I can keep my horse. And so, of course, Loki, who hasn't seen this horse, is like, yeah, go for it. I mean, with a horse, you can't build a wall in one season. It takes at least like five. So the other gods agree. Dude leaves, comes back, and when he comes back, it's winter. It's the first day of winter. And he starts putting this wall up. Now this horse, and the horse's name is, I'm going to butcher it, Nev.
Svadilfari.
Svadilfari. Haha, Nev helped. So Svadilfari comes with this craftsman, and they start building this wall. But this horse isn't on the up and up. This horse can move boulders. I'm talking about a Clydesdale dragging a mountain to build a wall. He's knocking down trees and throwing them on the back of this horse. And it's not like two, maybe three trees. He's knocking down 50 to 60 trees to put on the back of this horse so he can build this wall quickly.
That's not a horse. That's a Peterbilt.
It kind of is. So, of course, he continues, you know, building this wall. 3 days before the end of winter and the wall is almost done. And the gods are like, oh, hell nah. Loki, you said we could trust this guy. And apparently we can't trust you either.
Well, hang on. The guy said he would get it built in one season. Loki didn't say we could trust this guy. Loki said we can get over on this asshole.
Correct. And as we always know, it's always Loki's fault.
I mean, this time it definitely is.
It was. So they tell Loki, we will run a fade on you. Like, we will all jump you if this guy builds this wall. You need to fix this, and you need to fix this now. 2 days before the wall has to be built, well, has to be finished, a beautiful mare runs out of the woods, and Svadilfari,
yeah,
is sitting in, you know, he's doing his job, he's working, and he sees this hot chick. So what does he do? He stops working. He starts flirting and chasing her around.
He's trying to get down on it. Get down on it.
And of course, the craftsman is pissed. His horse is now running off with some random girl horse, and he knows the gods are behind it. And he can't finish the wall without his horse. So what does he do? He gets even madder. And so he starts throwing a fit. And in throwing his fit, he shows that he's really a giant. Which is why they were building the wall in the first place, to keep the giants out.
He gets all, stupid Mongolians, quit breaking down my shitty wall.
Pretty much. So of course, the horse is now off with the girl horse, making more horses.
I think in this particular case, we can go ahead and call that girl horse Loshi.
Yeah, we can call her Loshi. The gods, now seeing that the craftsman is a giant, they call Thor, who Thor was off doing his own thing. He was in a battle somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they call Thor down, and Thor comes, and he's like, hey, what's going on? What's good, fam? And they're like, giant, kill it. So, of course, what does Thor do?
Smacks it with a hammer.
Smacks it with the hammer and knocks the head clean off.
I got like this. I got this whole deal, right? So all the gods, all the Aesir, are supposed to be these badass warriors who kick the shit out of everything, and their whole culture of being gods is about being badasses at war. I mean, there's some that aren't necessarily directly connected to it, but they're all expected to some extent to be able to handle themselves. And then the moment they see a giant, they're like, Thor, come save us. Oh, I'm wetting my panties.
Pretty much that's how a lot of it went. Like, Thor was the one that they all went to whenever there were giants around.
Kind of makes it seem like Thor was the only god who was worth his salt. But then, you know, you got guys like Tyr who, like, could definitely beat Thor in a fight, so. But I guess that's a story for another time.
Remember, Tyr doesn't have his hand at this point.
Even with his left hand, he was still the best fighter.
He was, but I mean, in Tyr's defense, my hand just got bit off because y'all dumbasses. Do you really think I'm gonna save y'all?
Yes. That was like his whole thing.
Tyr may have wanted to fight, but of course the other gods always superseded, and Thor, because he was supposed to be the god of all gods, the battle god, he was one that they called on.
I mean, to be fair, Thor is supposedly the mightiest as far as physical strength. He also had this cool belt that made him even stronger. And I guess when the Romans started transcribing the situation, they actually thought that he was just another version of Hercules. But I still think that if you're going to call yourself a Norse god, it's just one giant. Y'all are about to have to fight a whole army of these motherfuckers. Get your balls up and do it.
Yeah, and after Thor kills the giant, so giant's dead now. His head has rolled off and become a mountain or something. What do? They sit there and they praise Thor. Now, the one person they should have been praising, Loki, they don't even know he turned into the girl horse.
I wouldn't tell anybody either.
It isn't until he comes back with an 8-legged horse baby and gifts it to Odin that they are like, oh, crap. Oh, crap. You were the girl horse.
He should have been like, nah, man, I hired her. We tight like that.
But he comes back. He comes back with this beautiful gray horse with 8 legs. And he gives this horse to Odin. With all the to-do and the pleasantries of giving anything to Odin.
Which, I mean, like, for the one, it's your child. Don't give it to Odin. As I've stated before, he's a dick. For two, Loki, why are you giving up the good stuff to Odin? You know you need to hold on to that shit, because shit's not going to go good for you later. I mean, I guess maybe he didn't know that yet at this point, because this is definitely before he was covered in poison, but...
Yeah.
I mean, stop trying to curry favor with the dude who basically said, you're not my son. My son is the mightiest of gods. That was kind of my Optimus Prime voice.
So... Odin now has this gorgeous horse, okay? And what does Loki tell him the name of this horse is? Slifnir. Slifnir is known as the best of horses.
I mean, yeah, and so there's like a little bit of a, there's a little bit of contest to the thought that he actually had 8 legs. Some people think that the 8 legs was supposed to be simply a description of how fast he moved. Like, you know how Sonic gets the whole Mobius strip when he's going full speed in the cartoons? His whole thing was he ran so fast that his 4 legs look like 8 legs. But then there are some people who are saying, no, he legitimately had 8 legs. And it was a sign of what he was going to be used to do later on in life.
Yeah, didn't it have a lot to do with the fact that when horses would draw carriages with the... corpses, that's a nice way of saying it, in it, that there would be 2 horses, so there were 8 legs, and it was supposed to represent Slifnir?
Essentially, yeah. There's also a little bit of contention about whether or not it's connected to this particular Celtic deity, whose name I can't remember right now, who apparently gave birth to twin horses. And I mean, they weren't too far apart. The myths themselves are pretty similar, and the areas in which those myths came up are pretty close geographically, but I don't know. I've got a lot of questions. I like the idea that he was just Sonic the Hedgehog, and his legs moved so fast I thought there were twice as many. But I maintain that if I found a horse with 8 legs, I would immediately be like, this is an inefficient horse, please give me a regular one. You're just gonna trip all the time.
I mean, I run into the fact that I'm afraid of spiders. Working on that, guys. I am. But...
Yeah, aren't we supposed to have a spider in, like, 3 days?
Yes, we are getting a spider in 3 days. And I have the feeling that I will still be a little skeevy about it, but I will get used to it.
He's gonna be so cute.
Yes, he is.
He's gonna be my little friend.
Yes, he is.
I'm gonna name him...
Henry?
No.
George?
No.
Slifnir?
No.
Cuddles?
I'm gonna name him Ben.
Oh. Aww.
not after Peter's uncle, but after that one clone who became the Scarlet Spider.
Okay, I can deal with that.
Ben Reilly. That's a little hint of when I get an episode and I decide to, when I get a chance to pick the myth, it's probably going to be a comic book, guys.
So, of course, as you know, Loki gave birth to this horse, and there's so many questions you can ask about that. Like, one, where did it come out of?
Loki's butt. I already told you that.
But if it didn't come out of his, like, first off, I don't want anything coming out of my butt that big.
Then you must have never eaten at Chipotle, and I know that's not true, because that's what we had last night.
Second, Loki is the only humanoid male that has ever gone through labor pain. Actual labor pain.
Well, when we get into some Egyptian myths, there's some weird stuff that happened there.
That is true. But, so for Loki, it must have been pretty painful.
I mean, he also could have just been like, God powers, activate, body, open, and release horse.
I feel like he would be the one to just suffer through it. But then you have to think, he had to do stuff to get pregnant. There's so many statements I want to make about that, but we have to keep it at least PG-13.
I refuse.
So, Sleipnir is also known as the horse that take Odin to go and pay the ransom to get Baldur back. Baldur was killed, of course, by Sleipnir's father. Baldur is also a pretty good god.
I'm just gonna put it out there. Loki masterminded it, but Baldur was killed by mistletoe.
He was. He was. Like, that's gotta be the worst way to go. To be killed by mistletoe.
An insignificant parasitic plant.
Yes. So, of course, after Odin gets down there to Hel, the only way that Hel will let Baldur leave is if they go backwards the way they came.
You know, an eight-legged horse can't run backwards.
Of course he could. He jumped that wall, didn't he?
Forwards.
He jumped it backwards, too.
I don't believe it.
I believe it.
That motherfucker tripped all over himself. You know what happened.
It wouldn't surprise me, not really. So, Sleipnir. There are like many myths about Sleipnir, and when he's depicted, he's always depicted with multiple legs. Some of the pictures that they have of him, it's not just multiple legs, it's multiple hooves. Like, there's like a bell around his feet. Well, his hooves, I guess that's what they call them, hooves?
Yeah, hooves.
There's a bell like toward the top, and you can see four different hooves. It's two on each foot. Okay. So, you know, Loki had lots of children, right? Mm-hmm. And one of Loki's other children, who's an animal, he had a lot of animal-type children. Don't blame me. Blame the dad.
Stop fucking animals, bro.
He had this one with a giant, okay?
She was an animal in the sack, but it's...
But so Loki had a son, Fenrir. Fenrir was the best wolf. I like Fenrir. Like, he didn't do anything wrong. He really just wanted Odin to love him and to like him and to make him one of his dogs. But so, like, Odin, who's the all-seeing god, decides that Fenrir is going to bring about the apocalypse. Ragnarok, not the apocalypse.
Ragnarok is the apocalypse. You got it right.
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it?
Got it in one.
So, Fenrir, who just wants Odin to love him, is doing all these things. He's like showing Odin he's the best dog. Fenrir is a wolf. He's not like Odin's other dogs. Fenrir is, as a puppy, he's about the size of one of Odin's dogs. And as he gets older, he gets bigger.
Much, much bigger.
And so Odin, knowing that, you know, this dog as they called him, this wolf, was going to end the world, he's like, nope, I need you guys to go and capture this dog. I don't know what you need to do. Don't kill it, because then that'll make Loki mad, but go capture this thing and make sure it doesn't end the world.
And so inconsistent, because since when did Odin give a shit about making Loki mad?
He never really gave a shit. He just knew that if he killed Fenrir... Look, he already wrapped one of them around the world and sent one to hell. He knew if he did something to this one, he was going to be in tough shit land with Loki.
What's Loki going to do? Pull his pants down while he gives a speech?
I mean, he did help kill Baldur.
I mean, yeah, but that was very, very specific circumstances.
True. So, they decide that they're going to do this awesome thing. They're going to chain him to a rock on an island in the middle of nowhere. So the first chain was made by the dwarves. Didn't go so well. They convince him to come to the island and to test his strength against this strong chain that they made. And of course, Fenrir is like, okay, sure, nothing can hold me. And he breaks it.
Like, no effort. He just goes in on, he's like, ruff, and it's broken.
Okay, so the second chain, they go back to the same dwarf. Dwarves. Dwarvies? Look, I like to piss off the fae, okay? But they go back to the same dwarves, and they get another chain. And they guarantee that this chain, this dog, can't break. Now, between them getting the first chain and the second chain, Fenris has gotten bigger.
Yeah, I feel like nobody informed them that Fenrir was larger.
So, of course, they go and they convince him to come to the island, and he's like, okay, cool, I did this once, I can do it twice. So again, they put the chain on him. It's a little tougher this time, but he breaks it. Runs off and goes about his happy little way, causing all kinds of fear and panic.
Maybe a little bit less trustful of the gods at this point, though.
More than a little. So they go back to the dwarves and they're like, look, from the time we got the first chain to the time we got the second, this motherfucker doubled in size. So I need something that he cannot get out of. So of course the dwarves are sitting there and they're like, okay, we'll make this ribbon. And this ribbon is made from some really mythical stuff. Like the sound of a cat's footstep. Have you ever heard a cat walk?
Yes.
Have you ever heard a silent cat walk?
Yes.
Of course, because you're half cat.
Half?
Okay, you're all cat. The beard of a woman. The breath of a fish. And there were a few other, you know, weird occult items.
Essentially, it's made out of things that supposedly don't exist.
Pretty much. So, of course, they're like, ooh, ah, we've got these cool things. Let's throw them together and make this ribbon. And so they take this little piece of ribbon and they get Fenrir back on this island and they convince him to do this. And they're like, this will be the last time that we do this. Now this time, Odin's there.
And Fenrir is definitely not trusting these guys. He's like, okay, hang on. So I keep coming here, and the first time it was easy. The second time it was a little bit harder. But I'm big, my balls have dropped, and I don't trust you motherfuckers. So you're going to have to give me something to prove that you are actually going to, you know, stick to the deal. I don't want to be trapped. I got to run free, baby.
So, of course, they decide that they are going to agree to this. Fenrir goes, all right, so if I'm going to do this, I want one of y'all to put your hand in my mouth. If y'all trap me here and y'all don't let me go, I'm biting your arm off. Seems fair, right? None of the gods wanted to do this. They were like, nah.
They knew they were tricking him.
Tyr, who had raised Fenrir from a puppy, because Loki never raises his own kids, okay?
He's like Goku.
Very much like Goku. But Tyr is like, you trust me and you know me. I will gladly put my sword arm in your mouth. Fenrir's like, cool, let's go.
And since Tyr's like the best swordsman out of all the gods, this is like actually something really valuable he's putting on the line. And I feel like maybe Tyr wasn't aware that they were trying to trick this dog.
I'm pretty sure he... Okay, so if it was me, I wouldn't have put my hand in the dog's mouth. No, that's a big ass dog. I'm not putting my hand in your mouth. You got teeth. Teeth hurt. No. But I'm pretty sure Tyr trusted them enough to know that they... to think that they would pull him out if he did know about it. If he didn't, you should have known better, Tyr.
That's what I'm saying. I just feel like no one let him know what the real plan was. Because, like, I feel like you don't give up your most valuable possession if you know for a fact you're going to lose it. I'm just putting that out there. Tyr was misled. Confirmed.
So, of course, Tyr puts his hand in Fenrir's mouth, and Fenrir is sitting there, and he's just la-la-la-la-lying. And what do you think happens?
Well, if this was the real world, the ribbon breaks and the dog goes free and everyone's happy. But this is Norse mythology. Nobody is ever happy.
Nobody was happy. So Fenrir lets them put this ribbon around his neck and tie it to this boulder. And no matter how hard he tries, he can't move the boulder. He can't get free of the ribbon. Seeing that he has been tricked, he's like, dudes, come on, let me go.
Betrayed.
They betray him. Of course they do. Why? Because they're gods. And why do the gods betray people? Because they're dicks.
Because Odin's a dick.
And Fenrir, feeling bad about it, bites off Tyr's sword arm. Now, in Tyr's defense, yes, his dominant arm was his better arm. But he trained up his non-dominant arm pretty good in a short amount of time. Fenrir, still chained to this boulder. Well, tied, because it's a ribbon. And he's mad. And he's getting madder by the day. I kind of feel like Odin himself started Ragnarok. His decisions are what made Ragnarok happen.
Absolutely.
Because Fenrir, had he just given him a little bit of attention and scratched his belly and told him he was a good boy, probably wouldn't have eaten the sun and killed Odin. But he wouldn't have been so angry. He would have been free. He would have done his own thing. But he was a giant wolf, so I can understand the whole, you know, let's not let him run free. The people are getting scared now. What do you think?
I mean, I feel like every decision Odin made was only to benefit himself, and anytime he was told shit wasn't going to go well, he just made a worse decision to cover it up. So, this is just one of those times.
Yeah, he kind of did the same thing with Jormungandr. Like, the giant snake wasn't that bad. So, he kind of just...
He does kind of exude poison.
He does. It's not his fault, though.
I mean... Radiation isn't evil, but you should probably still try and contain that shit.
True. Throwing him in the ocean, though. And the only reason Jormungandr gets free of the ocean is because of Thor. Like, I just feel like some of Loki's kids got a bad rep because of their magical abilities. Don't even get me started on Hel. Like, her whole thing was she just... half of her was gorgeous, the other half was, you know, dead. and it scared Odin, and he was kind of creeped out about it. I do feel like Odin just made his own problems. So I just feel like sometimes Odin made his own problems, and everybody else had to take care of them. It was true with Hel, it was true with Fenrir, and I'm pretty sure it was at least partially true with Jormungandr.
And then he had this whole thing going on with Ratatoskr, though. That guy was cool.
Thank you guys for listening to us while we talked about Sleipnir, Fenris, and a little bit about Jormungandr. But I feel like we need to go more in depth about Jormungandr. What do you think, Nev?
We can totally do that. We can do a part two of Norse mythological animals.
That'll be fun. Next week, we will be talking about the fall of Troy. Who were the heroes in that? How did it end? I mean, we all know, a giant horse. That's how it ends. But how did it start? Does anybody ever remember that?
Yeah, Homer. And next week's episode will probably go on a little bit longer, as we will have a larger group of people doing sort of a roundtable discussion. We've all talked about this once, but we didn't get a good recording of it, so we're going to do one just officially for you guys. I hope you enjoy it.
So next week we'll talk about that. Thank you for joining us at Myths, Monsters, and Legends. And you guys have a great and mythical night.
Later.